It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about rural land use on Talk of Iowa, a very big topic that we're exploring this hour. And just before the break, I was talking with Ken Hesanius, supervisor for Iowa DNR District 3 office in Northwest Iowa, who works with animal feeding operation and permitting. There are a lot of people who want to be part of this conversation today, and we're not going to have time to get to all of our calls and all of our questions. I'll read this email from Jerry. These were some thoughts that he shared after listening to our conversation about crops. He says, as a steward of 60 acres in northern Johnson County, I pay close attention to the land as I drive around our state. Despite what your experts are saying, I see very little evidence of the use of cover crops following beans and corn. I've also noticed a recent trend to bulldoze trees and brush on stream banks and plant right up to the waterway. So we're wasting our most precious resource, causing flooding and accelerating fertilizer runoff for what? A few extra bucks worth of corn? If landowners, private or corporate, are not wise enough to protect the land, there need to be legal penalties for abusers. That's Jerry's opinion. And of course, we want to hear from you as well. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Now, when you drive through rural Iowa, in addition to the farms and the feedlots and the rural homes, you also see abandoned buildings, abandoned farms, sheds, houses, and schools. Underneath the big Iowa sky, near a beautiful verdant green cornfield, the buildings can look fairly picturesque, even beautiful. But we're going to talk about what kind of problems they might be representing in our environment as well, and what we should, or at least can, do about them. With me now is Scott Flagg. He is manager for the Derelict Building Program for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Charity. How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And Siobhan Spain is also here. She's an independent consultant with Balin and Blanken and also has a lot of experience with researching Iowa's abandoned and dilapidated structures. Hi, Siobhan.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And Scott, give us an idea as we look around. And Siobhan, you can jump in here, too, because I know you have a good idea of what's out there. But as we look around the environment in rural Iowa and we see these dilapidated structures, How common is that to have abandoned buildings that are no longer in use, just sitting on Iowa land or in our rural communities?
Well, Charity, there's quite a few buildings throughout Iowa that are in various stages of, you know, either being abandoned or derelict, as we qualify them under our program. Our program is working with communities of 5,000 or fewer to address, like you mentioned, like the public school buildings, abandoned commercial and public buildings in the downtown sections as well. I know for a fact that we have 869 towns in Iowa that have 5,000 or fewer people inside them. And inside those populations, we have identified at least 500 or 600 buildings that are potentially could be reused or deconstructed.
All right. And Siobhan, can you weigh in on that as well?
There are a lot. I mean, I'm kind of obsessed with the beauty of them, as you mentioned. And there are plenty, if you take the back roads anywhere across Iowa, and there are people, artists and whatnot, that really love to photograph them because of their picturesque personality. And there's a huge amount. I don't know if they've ever been counted, but I know there's been some, like the DNR that Scott just mentioned, they're starting to make some headway in quantifying how many are out there.
And of course, as you mentioned, Siobhan, I mean, a lot of these buildings are beautiful, and a lot of these buildings represent a significant part of our history, both our family history and our state history in Iowa. But Scott, what are some of the dangers of having these buildings sitting there?
I think some of the main dangers we encounter on some of these buildings are like asbestos. There's asbestos inside the buildings. And when the building becomes abandoned and it's left, there's no one there to maintain it, the building slowly falls apart and eventually it crumbles. So when that happens, everything comes down. And then all the material that comes down with that has to be treated as asbestos contaminating waste. And that all has to be taken to the landfill. And then there's also an extra charge for how much when you take asbestos containing waste to the landfill. So not only do you have an issue there where a building's falling down in your main street area, but then you're also hit with the additional fees for taking the material to the landfill. On top of the asbestos issues, there's lead, there's mold. We have several of our applicants through our program talk about how the kids in the town like to go in and play in the abandoned buildings. So the towns, the city clerks, the mayors, they're concerned about people going inside buildings that they no longer maintain.
Well, and these are in rural communities, but also you see buildings in the landscape, like schools, for example, that were outside of small communities, maybe served more than one small community, but these have been abandoned as well. And so those buildings would also be causing some of those environmental hazards.
That's true. Yeah, we have several, like through our program, we've helped either remove or reuse at least 4 or 5 school buildings throughout the state of Iowa in different, state of repair for sure.
And tell me, give me a little bit of the history of the derelict building program with the DNR.
Sure. Yeah, the derelict building program was started in 2010. We're working with communities of 5,000 or fewer to address abandoned and derelict buildings. And what we're looking for there is commercial and public structures, like you mentioned, school buildings, the main buildings on the main street, things like that. We work with the cities and the counties if they own the buildings. They can apply to the program. It's a competitive program. And they can ask for funding for deconstruction. Now, deconstruction is different than demolition. You're not just coming in, knocking the building down, hauling it off. Deconstruction, you're coming in, you're either taking the building apart selectively or you're knocking the building down in parts, and you're separating those materials, and then you're finding markets for those materials. We also provide funding for renovation to help fix up the building. And if there's any sort of issues like asbestos, we help remediate asbestos, provide $10,000 for that. And then asbestos inspections, phase 1, phase 2, any sort of environmental testing, we help with that as well.
With some of the smaller structures on farmsteads, for example, the abandoned sheds, the abandoned barns, and you see a lot of farmsteads, particularly in western Iowa, where the house has been abandoned as well after the farm crisis of the 1980s. There's been a tremendous amount of change in how that land is used out there. What are some of the other hazards that might be hidden in those buildings, not the commercial buildings, but the privately homed buildings?
Well, I think there's always, it's going to matter, what you encounter. There could be paints, chemicals. There could be issues with, trying to think of like some residential properties, what I might run into in my own house. I'm kind of drawing a blank on some of that, to be honest with you, Charity. But I know that, one thing we can do, with the DNR, is we can work with private residents as well as farmers. They can take advantage of our Iowa Waste Exchange program, where they come out and maybe do, a waste audit, and so see what types of materials are out there in the house or in the barn, and they'd be able to find markets for those individuals, private residents, businesses, whoever's interested in that type of service.
Well, and you mentioned deconstruction. I mean, just anecdotally speaking, and I'm not going to name any names here, I know a lot of people who live in rural areas who've talked to me about what they did to get rid of their rural buildings. And, I know people who've knocked them down and buried them. I know people who have burned them. And, a lot of people, they just want to get rid of it. And there's a tremendous amount of, well, I'm sure danger there as well, but a tremendous waste of resources that if these buildings are disposed of in that way, isn't there?
That's correct. Yeah. Basically, we want to work with the community if they have an issue there, like in a commercial and public building where they have to have it checked for asbestos before they bring it down. We can help them find markets through the program. We have several vendors here within the state of Iowa that are interested in purchasing old brick, old lumber, things for architectural salvage, and actually the city or the county can generate some money off selling this material instead of having to pay to take the material to the landfill.
And Siobhan, I know that you recently worked on the deconstruction of an old outbuilding on your family farm. What was the building?
Well, it was our barn, our main barn, and that was actually several years ago. We've been It's just a common issue that has happened on farms where they have these barns and they used to farm the land themselves, and then they started leasing them out for conventional farming or larger farmers. And so there isn't any use for those barns anymore, and they get dilapidated, especially if the roof goes in. The best thing you can do is preserve the roof if you do want to preserve any outbuildings like that. So the reason of, not having it and then the foundation was being compromised, there was a danger, and that barn was close to our residence. And so my dad was very worried about the grandkids getting in there and, you know, falling through the floor or, you know, things like that. So there are dangers even in that. But I want to really put a plug in for not just the dangers, but the material, like you mentioned. It's quality material. That old growth lumber, even in sheds, in people's landscape, there's so much great creative options for making use of that, because once you bury it or burn it, there's that old growth lumber that's just not in existence anymore. We worked on a renovation project of a foreclosed home recently in Des Moines, and we used some barn wood that my brother collects, and it was a huge feature in the house that people just gravitated toward because it has such a unique look and it's so durable that I really encourage people who do have those. I know they just want to get rid of them and they really don't want to think about it, because emotionally it's kind of tough to make those decisions on the farm too. It really acknowledges that time period in your farm is over, and that's what happened to us. That was the most difficult part about it, was the emotional aspect of it. But at least you can save those materials and make something else out of it, or there's just so many uses and a great demand for it and people who are really looking for it.
What kind of process did you have to go through with your family's barn? I mean, I understand it was an emotionally difficult time, but that sounds like a challenging job.
Well, you know, farmers are resourceful by trade. So, and, you know, growing up Irish Catholic, I have plenty of siblings, and they did it themselves. I mean, the siblings did. So it's took it down and deconstructed it mainly because, you know, when you're a farmer, you're most of them want to save things and find other uses. That's how you survive out on the farm and make things work. So we had to take care of the foundation was really given. So we slowly took it down piece by piece.
How long did it take you?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know how long it did. It's a process, because sometimes you have to push it over, and hopefully you push it in a way that's that saves the material. And that's another thing about deconstruction, which is so nice, is that it really helps preserve and doesn't ruin that material. Like metal and all those things can be salvaged out of demolition. But once you do that to wood, it's broken. It's not really that valuable anymore. So it's good to, some people start on the roof and some people do the outside and then pull it down once they get some of the siding off. And some of those outbuildings are so simple structures. They're perfect for deconstruction because they don't have a lot of interior aspects to it, like insulation and asbestos and all those things. So
not a lot of the complicating factors.
It's very simple.
What did you do with the materials from your barn?
Well, like I said, my my brother, Sean, is, I hope he doesn't take this the wrong way, a hoarder, as far as that goes. And it's so to our asset, because he's an artist as well. So he reuses them for tables and like he did the barnwood accents in the house that we just renovated. And they're just exquisite. So he is a construction worker by trade, an artist. So he really, in the farmer aspect, really brings that creativity all together and that resourcefulness. So we've found many uses.
Scott, when you're working on some of these other kinds of buildings, how long does it take you to deconstruct, let's say, an old school?
Well, it usually depends. I think usually we're going between 3 to 6 months for a deconstruction project, but sometimes it might take longer, and sometimes it might go quite a bit quicker as well. Probably on average, though, we've averaged between 2 to 3 months for each project.
And so far, since the program was founded in 2010, how much material do you think you've been able to keep out of landfills?
To this day, we've diverted a little over 10,000 tons of construction, demolition, brick, wood, concrete, asphalt, items like that.
And how many projects have you been able to complete?
Right now, we've completed 36, and we have had 20 projects that just started here on July 1st. So
wow.
We have our next round that's starting pretty soon here.
All right. And how many are on the waiting list?
Well, we've received 119 applications in total over three rounds, and we've ended up funding 56 projects. So there's still quite a few projects out there that we can help work with communities on addressing these types of buildings.
And if somebody's listening right now and thinking, wait, I didn't even know I could apply.
Right.
So when is the next opportunity for people to get involved?
Our next grant round actually will be next winter, be end of February. I think the deadline will be February 27th, 2015. But we're accepting applications whenever. And what we do is if someone calls me up and asks me, hey, Scott, you know, I got this building I need help with, we'll help them. I'll help them with their application, help strengthen their application, and then they can apply. And then the review committee, which is made up of Keep Iowa Beautiful, Iowa Recycling Association, a group of landfill organizations across the state, they review the applications and select who gets funded for the program.
And if somebody's interested in deconstruction on their own land, if they have an old barn that cannot be saved or an old outbuilding that really doesn't need to be saved, I mean, some of these barns are so beautiful, some of the outbuildings not as much. But Siobhan, where do they turn for information about deconstruction? How can they get advice on how to do this?
You know, there are programs in Iowa that have started up, which I was involved with at the Center of Sustainable Communities and the Iowa Waste Reduction Center, and we worked with DNR and Iowa Central. The deconstruction is a growing topic, but it's still, there's a lot of progress to be made. There are not, you know, there are contractors that don't put themselves out there as deconstruction specialists, but talk to your community members. Networking is the best thing that I can say, because like my brother will do it on the side. Dan Oswald out of Iowa Central will do it. So there are people out there. It takes networking at this point we get the Iowa Green List populated.
All right. So start asking questions.
Yes.
All right. Siobhan Spain, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Siobhan Spain is an independent consultant. Scott Flagg, thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Flagg is manager for the Derelict Building Program for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. We're continuing our series today on River to River with an in-depth look at urban land use in the state of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.